Starting with the Mishnah, today's daf is Samach Bet. We'll start at the Mishnah on Samach Aleph from a Bet at the bottom. Shiv'a sammanim mavirim ala ketem. We've come across these seven substances before. There's seven substances that get out stains. This is kind of like a recipe for if you get a blood stain, what should you do? The assumption here is they get out blood stains. They don't necessarily get out all stains. And that's important because then it will be an indicator. When you have a ketem again, you're not always sure if it's blood or not. So this could be an indicator if you use these seven substances to clean it, which we'll see what they are right now, and it comes out, then you'll know it was blood. Rok tafel, which is saliva that's without any taste. We'll get to what that is exactly. Megrisin, water from those split beans that we had before, the grease. Remember the shear of the grease. We'll talk about what the water from this is soon. Meiraglaim, this is one of those good cases where we're not going to really understand everything. The Mishnah itself is going to explain some of them, not all of them. And then the Gemara later is going to try to explain the ones that we didn't understand, which, again, I can't promise I'll be able to explain them perfectly well, right? It's again, one of these cases of all these substances, nobody knows exactly what they are.
Which is too bad, because it's blood stains are a pain.
Because what?
Blood stains,
right. It would be helpful if we knew exactly what would get out blood stains. Although I'm not sure you want to use this one. Umeiraglaim, that's urine. Vineter. Okay, we'll get to what neter is. Uborit, kmonia, vaashlag. So those are all the seven substances. Hidbilu, vaasal, gabav, taharot. What if, this is the way it works. You have a blood stain. You're supposed to clean it out first, and then you tovel it in the mikvah. Okay, to be mitaher, the item. Now, what if you first toveled it in the mikvah before you washed off the stain? Va'asa'al gabav taharot, and then you dealt with taharot, meaning you used the cloth and the cloth touched things that were supposed to be kept b'tahara, like truma. He'evir alav shiv'as sammanim, if after, again, you don't know yet what the stain is. So you have this red spot on a baguette, on a cloth. You dunk it in a mikveh, then you use it with taharot, and then he'evir alav shiv'as sammanim. Velo avach. So then, let's say you wash it after and it doesn't come off. Well, if it doesn't come off, then it wasn't blood. Although, we'll see, we'll come back to this later, okay? It sounds like it's a perfect indicator this isn't blood. We'll see later. Not necessarily clear. It's still, there's a small chance it could be blood, okay? But yet, the Mishnah is being mekel in any case. Okay, well, we'll get back to that. At this point, it kind of sounds like this is, right, this must be paint or, you know, color from dye or something like that. But it's not blood. Hataharot taharot, tohorot, so therefore, any taharot, they came in contact with their tohorot. Now, if you really say this is definitely not blood, then also she's not going to be tamei to her husband, right? The Mishnah is focusing specifically on the cloth, and whether the cloth is tamei. But theoretically, if we view this as she's for sure, right, it's for sure not blood, well, then she'd be allowed to her husband. If it's sefek, then we'd say, well, maybe she's not allowed to her husband, although we might still say it's a ketem and we're mekel by ketamim, right? So again, if we're always mekel, then we can rely that it's coming from there, and then she's allowed to her husband also. But again, that's not the focus of the Mishnah. Ve'eino tzarich lahatbil, and then you don't need to tovel it a second time. Avar oshediha, but if it came off after you washed it, or it lightened in color, hareze ketem. This is a ketem, and therefore, hatarot meot, all the stuff you dealt with is now tamei, vitzarich lahatbil, and you need to dunk it in the mikveh a second time, because what you did the first time didn't help. Now, this is interesting. It says that once it lightens in color, now it seems strange, either you'd have to clean it out entirely or not. And it's, if it's, the whole idea is you can't tovel it with a blood stain there because there's a blood stain. So once it lightens, why is that okay? So the assumption is that what we have here is at a certain, okay, this is, we're going to use this, we're going to talk about this concept later, which is called tum'ah blu'ah. This is absorbed into something. Now, tum'ah that's absorbed into something is different from actual tum'ah. So this is tum'ah that's absorbed into something, and we're much more mekel once it's absorbed into something. So now the assumption is if it can be washed out, well, then it's not absorbed. It's not tum'ah blu'ah. And then it's a problem. If it's already you washed it out, you did one, well, it's actually seven stages of washing because you went through all seven sammanim, all the seven substances, and it's still there, well, at that point, it's what we call batel. It's nullified. You don't really care anymore. It's a very light stain. It's not significant. You're not going to get it out. So at this point, it's not really considered blood anymore, and then you can actually tovel it. Okay? But until you wash it, it's not considered balua, and then you'd have to redo it. Ezehu rok tafel. So now we're going to go through some of the substances, not all of them. What is rok tafel? Kol shelo ta'am klum. It's when you wake up in the morning and you haven't eaten anything all day yet, right? Whatever time it is that day, as long as you haven't eaten anything, that's saliva that doesn't have any taste to it. So meaning you wouldn't use saliva after you've eaten.
Meaning the pure saliva is more effective on stains?
Yeah, that's what they're saying. We can try it out. Well, I don't think you want to try this one. Meraglaim shechmitzu. Okay, that fermented, that basically was left for 3 days. I think the Rambam's the one who says that. Maybe others say it also, but Rambam.
I skipped one?
Oh, megrisin? Yeah, I skipped. Megrisin. They're on the same May. Okay. Megrisin. So what's that? The water from these split beans. Li'isat grisin shalpul chalukat nefesh. They're, if you chew on the grisim, on these split peas that were chalukat nefesh, that means that they were split on their own. I don't know why it would make a difference if someone split them or they split on their own. The point is they weren't split by human hands. I guess once they're split by human hands, they might have other substances on them. But if they're pure, maybe that's the idea, without having touched anything else. And then you chew on them, so they now have a big mixture of your saliva. I saw somewhere also where they said you need a lot of saliva. It's your saliva mixed up with the grisim. That is also a good cleaning agent. Again, you can try these at home. Meraglaim shechmitzu. So this is the urine that has fermented, been left for 3 days. It becomes, this again, it has like ammonia in it, they say. It's like an ammonia-type substance. But, and now that's it. They're done. They don't tell you the other things. So this is, again, a clear case where things that were clear to the Mishnah, we're going to see, are not clear to the Amoraim, because they're going to start questioning. But the Mishnah, in the time of the Mishnah, it was obvious what those other things were. Vitzarich, right, imagine somebody nowadays wrote, you know, use this cleaning detergent in the Ajax and, you know, like listed a bunch of things. So come 50 years later, no one's going to know what they're talking about. They're going to have all different substances. But
they can Google it.
Right, they can Google it, but right, whether they'll find it or not, I don't know. So anyway, Tzarich lechaske, now they tell you how to wash. Tzarich lechaske shalosh pamim lechol echa ve'echad. Okay, so you need to scrub it 3 times with each substance. It's an irrelevant test if you did it in a different order. There's a particular importance in the order. You have to go one by one the way they're listed here. And if you didn't do them in the right order, or you mixed them all together and washed it, well, then it's an irrelevant test. Okay, it doesn't indicate anything either which way. Okay, Tana. Now the Gemara is going to start with Brito, that are going to try to figure out which substances we're talking about. Neter alexandrite velo neter antipatrite. Okay, this is a substance from the type they made in Alexandria and not the type they made in Antipatris. Okay, and that's because it was a much stronger type in Alexandria, and therefore we use that substance and not the other. Borit. Amarav, right, I forget. The Koran actually has really good explanations. So the Koran, they say it's natron. Okay,
and
it's
a neter.
Yeah, I'm going back to the neter. And that, right, two types of natron were different not only in their place of production, but the methods and the production of their production and their quality. Okay, now the Alexandrium was from minerals in Egypt, and the one from Antipatrum was made from plants. So it was a totally different type of substance. Okay, moving on to the next one. Borit. So now there's a bit of a debate about what borit is. Amar Rav Yehuda ze ohala. Okay, this is what they call an ice plant. Okay, it's sodium carbonate, which they used for laundering and bathing. Okay, v'hatanya, so now they say, how could it be? By the way, we've had sugyas that are just like this in the past. We've come across these sugyas before. This comes up in Shabbat also. V'hatanya haborit v'ahal. So it lists them as two separate things. So how can you say that borit is ahal if it's listed as two separate substances? Elamai borit, kavrita. It must be sulfur, okay? Now they say, wait a minute. If you say it's sulfur, right? Sulfur is a resource that comes from the ground. So Rimini, that contradicts the following source, which is talking about not having anything to do with our topic. This has to do with what has Kedushat Shvi to it, okay? Remember, some of these things are plants, and some of these things are minerals from the ground, okay? So Hosifu alehen, this is a list of what items have sanctity of the Shemitah year to them. Now, obviously, if it has sanctity of the Shemitah year, it has to be something that grows from the ground and not a resource from the ground. So look what's on the list. Halavitzin, v'haleonin. I'm not going to get into what all these substances are. They're not so relevant for our purposes. But la'anim we know from the Nevi'im, right? Shoresh, poreh, rosh, v'la'ana, right? Wormwood. Halavitzin, v'haleonin, haborit, v'ahal. Again, you see borit and ahal are separate here, right? This is where it says, v'i borit kavrita. Now, if borit was sulfur, mi'i le'shvid, it doesn't have kedushat shvid to it, right? It's a resource. And if you didn't think that a resource wasn't going to have kedushat shvid, they're going to now prove it. V'hatznan, doesn't it say in the Mishnah? Zehaklal, this is the general principle. Koshe yesh lo ikar, if it has roots, yesh lo shvid. V'koshe ein lo ikar, and if it doesn't have roots, ein lo shvid. So therefore, ela my kiborit, my borit, it must be ohala. They go back to saying it can't be sulfur. It must be this ice plant, which again is a plant, makes sense with the Shemitah. But then, v'hatanya haborit v'ahal, didn't we just read the source where it says them as two separate things? So what do they answer? Tre gavne ohala. Okay, there's two different types of ahal, and therefore there's two different ice plants. One is called borit and one is called ahala, right? We know that. This happens in life all the time, right? We call two types of something could be called by different names. Kamonia. Amar Rav Yehuda, shlof dutz. Okay, shlof means take it out, dutz means stick it in. That was some type of plant, apparently, that was called the shlof dutz plant. Nobody really knows exactly what it is. V'ashlag, here's a good answer. Okay, so what's ashlag? Amar Shmuel, this comes up, you'll probably remember this. Sh'altinu l'nechute yama. Remember, when they're not sure what something is, they go to the people who live by the water, and they say, because they're the people who come across people speaking all different languages, and they went, he said, and notice this is Shmuel, who's always into the science and stuff, he wants to know what everything is. So he asked the l'nechute yama, v'amre, ashlag ashme, what's ashlag? It's called ashlag. Okay, it's just what it is. Umishtakach bene nikve marganita. You find it in between the shells of the pearls. Umachile beramta de parzala. And you would take it out of from the shells using a fork, a metal fork or iron fork. Okay, going now back to the Mishnah. We had that case where you dunk in the mikveh and then you wash it later. And then we said, right, if that happens, you're going to have to re-tovel it because if it came out, right, then it's obvious it was blood. And if it didn't come out, then we know it's not blood. Tanu, and then you don't need to tovel it and anything you dealt with is fine. So Tanu Rabbanam, we're going to quote another Tanaitic source. He'evir alav shivas sammanim velo avar. If you put the seven sammanim, it doesn't come off. But then you put svon, which is a type of soap, ve'avar, and it does come off, tarotav tmeot. That's also an indicator that it's blood. Now, this seems very odd. Didn't we just say the seven get it off if it's blood, and if not, we assume it's not blood? So what does this mean? And not only that, the Gemara is going to ask, svon seven ami ma'avar. Svon is such a strong substance that even color, right, or something else, dye, thank you, it will also remove. So therefore, they say it can't be what this braita says. Reread the braita. Ela he'evir alav shisha sammanim. If you use six of them, but not all seven, v'lo avar, and nothing happened, he'evir alav tzfon v'avar, and then you put the tzfon on and it comes off, tarotav tmeot. Why? She'im he'evir shvi'im itchila shema avar, because if you would have done the seventh from the beginning, before you did the tzfon, then it might have actually come off. Tosot says this is a very weird source because isn't it obvious without the tzfon, if you only did six and it didn't come off, you would assume it was blood? So what's the chidush here? So Tosfos suggests that maybe the assumption is that all these seven substances work to get the blood off. So that means, let's say you did six out of seven. If it didn't get any lighter whatsoever, you might have thought that it's not blood. Okay? Because it makes sense that if seven get it off and you use six, it should have at least lightened somewhat. So Tosfot suggests that maybe that's what's going on here because he says otherwise it's totally obvious and the tzfon should have nothing to do with it no matter what, it should be tamei because you haven't used all seven. So anyway, it's a good question. Okay, Tanya Idach. He'evir alav shiv'as sammanim, another brayta. You use seven, v'lo avar. Shna'an v'avar. So now, instead of saying, okay, so fine, right, it didn't come off, it must be okay, but you still try to get it out. Now, here there's an assumption that you're not trying to get the stain out because you have stain on your clothing and you don't want to walk around with the stain. The assumption is you're trying to get it out because you still think it's blood. Okay, for some reason they're thinking that. They're not assuming anyone would try to get out a stain just for the sake of getting out a stain. So if, or maybe the reason is because these shivas simanim, Maybe that's a better answer. The Shiva Sammanim were things that you use specifically to get blood out. If you were trying to get your stain out and it didn't come out with the blood detergent, so then you'd use other detergent. But this time you reuse the same blood detergents. I guess that's their assumption, which indicates...
You try to get a stain out a second time.
Right, right. So this is an indicator that you still think it's blood. Okay, we're going to see how that factors in. This is fascinating because this is, again, one of those cases where what you're thinking affects the halacha. Okay, so again, what did we say? If you use the seven sammanim and nothing happens, then we assume that it's not blood and then it's fine. But if you went ahead and rewashed it, showing with the seven sammanim, showing that you think it's still blood, that might affect things. So let's see. So if you did it a second time, ve'avar, and it actually comes out the second time, tarotav tehorot, they're still tahor, okay? Because it's still not, right? The fact that they didn't come out the first time is enough for you to have said, that's fine, it's not blood. So Amar Rabbi Zera comes though and narrows the case of this braita. Lo shanu ela ha-tarot shenasu bein techboset rishona l'shnia. This is only true for the tarot that are tohorot, are the ones that you did after you washed it the first time. So you washed it the first time, okay? You washed it the first time. You basically proven it's not blood, right? So again, we're going to go back now. We said it seems like a proof it's not blood, but now we're going to get into maybe it means chances are it's not blood, right? Let's say 95% chance it's not blood. So therefore, if you dealt with tarot at this point, they're totally fine. But if you wash it a second time, okay, time number two, you wash it, and then it comes out from here on in, achar techboset shnia, tarotav tmeot, from here on in, any tarot are going to be tmeot, okay, why? Because, here comes the big word, shahare hikpir alav, because he was makpir on it. He wanted to get that standard. He thought it was still blood. Ve'avar, and it actually came out. In other words, number one, he was suspect that it was still blood, and his dot is important, what he was thinking, and it actually came out, which means, this by the way reminds me of yesterday, maybe you didn't wash it well enough, right? Mm-hmm. But they don't say that actually, because they say whatever you did the first time really is still good, but now since you showed your intent that you still thought it is blood, that's going to be important.
But we're talking about a cloth. We're not talking about the woman.
So no, a cloth. Although it does have effects on the woman, theoretically. Fine. Yeah, but they're not talking about that.
If he tovels it, then it's after he, when he struggles the second time to get it, then he can tovel it, and most of the tarot continually be tmeot.
Say that again? I didn't follow. Where's he toveling it?
At number two.
If he tovels it before he washes it again. Well, he doesn't say he toveled it there. It just, although you're right, what you're saying is you'd have, no, because you don't need to tovel it, because here, what are we saying? 95% chance it's not a ketem, it's not blood. So you don't even need to tovel right. it. So he doesn't tovel it. But he washes it again because he treated it as blood. Right. We're now going to treat it as blood. Now we're going to have to understand this a little better because it doesn't yet make so much sense with what we learned. I'm going to finish reading a little bit more and then I'm going to go back and explain it a little better in two different ways. I just want to point out, Rashi basically says that this is a chumrah. Okay? Okay? He basically views this as we're just going to be machmir on him. Okay? I'll get back to that, but I'm going to explain the way the Ramban explains because I think it makes a lot more sense that way. So Amar le Rav Abba le Rav Ashi, Rabbi Abba says, Midi bikpeda tal yamilta? What does this have to do with anything? Why should, whether he thinks maybe it's still blood, right? The reality is what's important and not what his thinking was. So Amar le in, Rav Ashi says, no, in fact, it is important what he's thinking. How do we know? Detanya, as it says in the following braita, Rabbi Chia Omer, Dam Hanida Vadai. Okay, he brings a case. Until now, we've been talking about a ketem where we're not sure what its status is. Is it blood? Is it something else? But now we talk about if a woman, let's say, wiped herself where she had nida blood, and it's clear it's blood. So if you have something like that, Ma'avir alav shivas sammanim. So how are you mitaher that cloth? So it's Vadai Tuma. So you wash it first, because remember we said if it's Tuma absorbed in there, right? If it's not fully absorbed, it could come out by a wash, so that's not considered absorbed, so that's going to be tame. So you use the seven sammanim, umivatlo, and if you still have a bit of a spot there, you know, if it's still light, well, you just say, oh, I don't care anymore, right? In other words, now at this point, it's as if it's not there. So now you would say, vamai, why should that work? Hadam nidahu. How can you just say, well, now it's lighter, it's fine, it's nothing? How does that work? Because it's obviously, what is mivatzlo mean? Mivatzlo means you nullify it in your head, right? Whether you say it or it's in your head that you, right? It's nullified because of your intent. So of course intent plays a role here. And this is dam nidahu. In other words, here it's for sure nida. You can't say, oh, well, maybe it wasn't blood. It was 100% blood. Ama bikpe detalya melta. So you see there, it all is a matter of, does he care about it or not? And therefore, hachanami, we could say the same thing by us. Bikpe detalya melta. Okay, so how does this work, this issue of kpeda? So like I said, with Rashi, he says, since the person seems to indicate that it's important, so midrabbanan, we're going to be machmir, right? We're going to just be machmir on him. That's what we're going to say here. Okay, but the Ramban says no. He views it very differently. He says like this. Determining whether a ketev, and this goes back to what I said about it's a percentage game. We don't know for sure. We started off by kind of, the Mishnah seemed to say, harez et seva. If it doesn't come out, it's clear that it's color, right? And not that it's dye and not that it's blood. But comes the Ramban, he says, no, no, no. It's the chances are, like I put here, let's say 95% chance, 90% chance that it's dye. But there's a small chance that it's not dye. Now, if we say that there's a, right, we all know this, right? Some spots just, for whatever reason, you can't get them out, okay? There could be a blood stain that you can't get out, even though maybe other blood stains can get out. And therefore, they said, well, you have to tovel the baguette, okay? It's not enough just to wash it. You have to tovel it because some of it might not get out. And then, because, right, there's a chance that maybe it's dumb. And then, what do we say? Well, now we view this as tum'ah blu'ah. In other words, right, if it didn't come out, then what do we say? Well, now we view this as, okay, it didn't come out. It's now absorbed in the baguette. That's not going to be metame. However, and we're going to see this coming up in the next sugya, which is that we say tum'ah blu'ah is if you have something absorbed in a baguette. So that's not metame. However, if you're makpid on it, if you want to get it out of the baguette, then it's not considered tum'ah blu'ah. Think about it. If you have a stain that you want to get out, well, that means you don't view it as absorbed in the baguette. So tum'ah blu'ah is, according to the Ramban, the way he views it, it's dependent on how you view the stain. You can't nullify it unless you have intent to nullify it. If you have intent to get it out, well, then it's not nullified. If it's not nullified, it's not blu'ah. Okay? So this concept we're going to talk about now, okay, we're going to see a machloket, Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan, which according to the Ramban really breaks down into the machloka between Rabbi Abba and Rav Ashi about whether there's a distinction in Tum'ah Blu'ah, whether you're makpid or you're not makpid. Does that matter? Okay, so now we're moving on and we're going to get back to this. I'm going to quote a Mishnah in Kelim. Okay, we're going to talk about Tum'ah Kelim. And really, the topic here is Tum'ah Blu'ah. Okay, again, that's Tum'ah that gets absorbed into something. Charasin, you now have a kli charas, earthenware vessel, shenishtamesh behem zav, shebal'u mashkin. Remember, the liquids that come out of a zav are tameh. Now, there's different types of liquids that come out of a zav that have different levels of tumah. There's his saliva and his urine and things that we call the mayanot, the flows that come out of a zav. Those are mitameh mida oraita, okay, number one there, by Torah law, and there, they become an av hatumah. Remember, that's a high-level tumah, which can be metame, adam, and kelim, right? People and vessels. That's one type of thing that can come out of a zav. The second type of thing that can come out of a zav that's a liquid is, let's say he bleeds from a cut. Now, that's not a mayan. That's not that kind of halacha. That's just regular mashkin. Now, if you remember, mashkin generally can't be metame kelim, remember, because any food and drink can only be metame food and drink unless it's an avatuma. In this case, it's not an avatuma. It just came out of the zav, so the zav is the av. This becomes a rishon. Rishon can only be metame food and drink. However, if you remember, there's what we call gzerat mashkin. The rabbis were gozer on liquids, that liquids can be treated like, at a level above, they can actually be metame adam and kelim, but that's only midirabbanan. Okay, keep this in mind. This is going to be important as we continue. Okay, the distinction to Rabban and Darait is not going to come up just yet, but soon. So here goes. You have, now, how does Plicheres become Tameh? If something goes into its airspace. So you now have a Cheres that the Zav used. It absorbed liquids from the Zav. So now this is what we call Tum'ah Blu'ah. It's absorbed. Now, if we say Tum'ah Blu'ah is not Matameh, then this shouldn't be a problem. Now it says, "Venaflula avira tanur," it goes into the airspace of the tanur. "Vihusaka tanur." Now you turn on the oven, you fire it up. It's hot. Now, what happens to the liquids that are absorbed in the kli cheres when you fire up the oven? It's like kashrus, right? When you heat something up, something that's absorbed is going to come out. Hatanur tameh shesof mashke latzeit. As soon as you fire up the tanur, even if the liquids haven't come out yet, it's as if the liquids are come out because they're potentially can come out from the heat. And therefore, we're going to say, well, now there's liquids in the airspace and it's tameh. Okay? So now it's not tumah blua anymore, this case, because the tumah came out or potentially can come out or is on its way to coming out, and therefore it's metameh. What is inferred from here? That if the oven wasn't on and it was regular tumah blua, it wouldn't be metameh. So here comes a big machlok at Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan about this. The structure of the rest of the daf is Rish Lakish gives his opinion, Rabbi Yochanan gives his opinion, Rabbi Yochanan brings three questions against Rish Lakish from other sources, and we're going to answer them, and then Rish Lakish is going to bring a question, Rabbi Yochanan, one question, and then Rav Papa is going to answer and kind of modify the debate between them, or narrow the focus of the debate between them, or clarify exactly what they're debating. So Amar Rish Lakish, lo shanu ela mashkin kalin. Okay, this doesn't mean soft drinks. This means, right, mashkin that are kalim, that are lenient, like the ones that are derabbanan. This is why I set it up here before about the derabbanan d'oraita. Right? It didn't say what kind of mashkin from the Zav that are absorbed into this kli cheres. So he says, this is true that tum'a blua. Now again, what's the conclusion from here? Tum'a blua is lo matame. But if it comes out from the heat of the oven and then it's already in the airspace, well, then it is. But really, the main thing is that tumah blua is not metame. So comes Rish Lakish and he says, tumah blua is not metame only if it's derabanan mashkim, only if it's the lower level mashkim. Okay? But avam mashkim chamurim, if it was an avatuma, the urine of a zav that was absorbed into this kli, tame, afal pi shalohu saka tanur. Okay, he says, tumah blua, when it comes to deoraita, and avatuma is going to be metame anyway. Okay, he basically says tuma blua is only true for derabanan tumas and not doraita tumas. Rabbi Yochanan is obviously going to disagree and say echad mashkim kalim veechad mashkim chamurim imusaka tanur in ilolo. He says, what are you talking about? Tuma blua is not metame even by Torah law, right? Even doraita. Okay, he says no matter what. Okay, so we have Rish Lakish and we have Rabbi Yochanan. Okay? So Rabbi Yochanan says, tumah blua is never metame, only if it actually comes out. But if it's absorbed in it, no go. And Rish Lakish distinguishes between the Storaita and Derabana. So Etive Rabbi Yochanan the Rish Lakish. He brings our Mishnah as a disproof. What does he say? And that's why we brought this here. Hit below va'asal gabav taharot. If you dunk it in the mikvah before you wash it, then you do tarot, then have your alav shivas sammanim below aval, harezet seva v'tarotav taharot. Ve'ein sarich lahatbil. What do we say? It's seva, and the tarotav or taharot, and we don't need to be tovel. Now, what is this? This is a case of, if it doesn't come off the first time, right? We call this tum'ah blua, right? Now, even if it's dumb, we view this as sefik. It's still possibly dam. Now, dam is tameh midoraita. So if this is possibly blood, even though the chances are small, it's still possibly blood. If it's possibly blood, blood is tameh midoraita, and tumah blua midoraita should be metameh. So therefore, the fact that it didn't come out the first time doesn't indicate, right? We still would have to be machmir here. Okay, so therefore we'd have to be machmir misafek. Again, this goes back to assuming, right? It's against our first assumption. It's not a perfect indicator. It's still a possibility that it's blood. If it's a possibility that it's blood, that's d'oraita. It's tumah blua midoraita. We should be machmir. So Amalei, Rish Lakish will answer, hanachlik tamim derabanan. It's true that if it were really dam nida, it would be d'oraita. But this is a ketem. We don't even know. We said in general that ketamim are only asromi derabanan. It's only when you have a real flow that it's doraita. Yes, damnid is doraita. Damnid is doraita. When there's a flow, this isn't a flow. This is only derabanan, and that's why. Okay, so we got rid of the first question. Second question. V'hatani Rabbi Chiya. Doesn't Rabbi Chiya say in the following in a braita? Dam hanida vadai. Again, we're back to not a ketem, but if it's for sure damnida. Ma'avir alav shivas sammanim. In other words, he answered the first question by saying, oh, that's ketamim derabanan. Now he's going to bring a question on nidavadai. Dam nidavadai, ma'avir alav shivas sammanim umivatlo. So what do you see here? Once You use the Shiva Sammanim. You can be Mivatel, even though, what did we say? How did we explain this before? That once you wash it, even though there might still be some blood in there, the blood is canceled. Why is it canceled? Because it's Tuma Blua. What do you see from here? It was Vadai blood. Blood's Asur Mido Raita, Tami Mido Raita. It's Tuma Blua. And what do you see here? It's Mivutal. Okay, so that goes against Rish Lakish, who said only Durabanan it's Mivutal, but Mido Raita, it's still going to be Matami. So here's a really interesting answer. Amar Leh, Rish Lakish answers. Now, this was all a source by Rabbi Chiya, which goes really against the assumption we just made from our Mishnah. So what does he say? Rabbi Lo Shina, Rabbi Chiya Manale. Rabbi Chiya was the Talmud of Rabbi. He was the student of Rabbi's. If Rabbi didn't teach that, then Rabbi Chiya for sure wouldn't have taught that, which means you must have brought me a source that's mistaken. There's no possible way Rabbi Chiya would go against Rabbi, which is a little bit odd because Rabbi Chiya does go against Rabbi and Mishnayot here and there. Some people try to explain, well, they don't go against explicit Mishnayot. They try to distinguish, but it's interesting. Okay, third question. Etibei Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish. Now we're moving on to blood of a dead body. Blood of a dead body carries tumat ohel. Okay, so if there's blood of a dead body in your house, everyone in the house will be tameh. If there's a revit, that's a quarter of a log of dam. Revit dam shenivla babayit habayit tameh. If it gets absorbed into the ground, remember they didn't have floors like we had. They had dirt on their floors. If it gets absorbed into the ground in your house, the bayit is tameh. Okay. But others, or some people, or there's another source that says, Habayit Tahor. Okay? The Bayit's fine. It's not Tameh. Below Pligin, there's actually no machloka between these two opinions. It's not two different opinions. It's really two of the same opinions. It's just talking about different situations. Habakelim de Meikara, the Habakelim de Basof. Now, what happens? The blood spills in your house, let's say. The blood of a dead body spills on the ground. The first minute or so, it doesn't yet get absorbed. So, before it gets absorbed, if there were kelim in your house, those are going to become tameh. That's kelim de meikar, that they were there in the first place. But then, once it gets absorbed into your floor and then new kelim come into your house, those kelim are not going to be tameh because the tumah is already blu'a. So what do you see, right? And then we're going to see, continuing, nivla'a biksut, if the blood of the dead body got absorbed into a cloth, and this is really going to be our case, imit kabeset v'yotze mimena revi'it dam, if it can be washed and a whole revi comes out of it, meaning, right, all of the blood comes, or at least enough of a shiur comes out, then it's tume'ah. Because then we're going to say, right, that there was a lot of blood absorbed into there that, again, it's not called tuma blua if it comes out when you wash it. But im lav, if not a whole revi comes out, even though there's a whole revi of dam in this baged, but if not all of it comes out when washing, what does that prove? That some of the revit was blu'a. And what do you see here? Tuma blu'a is tehora. And this is, right, comes Rabbi Yochanan and says, look, you're wrong. So Amarav Kahana, mikule revi'ot shanukan. This is not to oraita blood. Now, you would think it's to oraita blood. We're talking about dam from a mate. And that would go against Rish Lakish. So what does he say? No. What we're saying here is we're talking about Kan Shane Dam Tfusa de Rabbanan. This is talking about Dam Tfusa. What's Dam Tfusa? When somebody is on their way to dying, so sometimes some blood starts coming out of their body while they're still alive. And then more blood comes out when they die. So let's say you have this, it comes from Reni Mitboseset Bedamaich, right? You're wallowing in blood. Okay, that's the Lashon Tfusa. We say that at Lel HaSeder. So now they say if you have a mixture of Ravit, of Dam from before, and dam from after, well, the dam from before is not mitame tumat ohel because it wasn't from a dead person. It was only someone on his way to dying. So therefore, if you have dam tfusa, and you're not sure here if there's a whole revit of blood from after the death, therefore, we're going to say, this case that they're talking about was only a revit of dam tfusa, which is only derabanan. So again, Rish Lakish says, that's a derabanan case. Okay, so again, he had one question about the dam nida, the ketem, and he said, oh, that's nida derabanan, that's not d'oraita. The second question, he said, oh, that source is a messed up source. The third question, he says, that's also a derabanan case. So he's answered all his questions, and now we're on to Rish Lakish questioning Rabbi Yochanan. Etibei Rish Lakish to Rabbi Yochanan. Kol habalua she'eno yachol latzeit tahor. Anything absorbed that can't come out is tahor. What's implied from this? Ha yachol latzeit tameh. Afagav delo nafik. Right? Eino yachol latzeit is potential. So now we're going to, if we put a scale, okay? There's things that come out easily, right? there's things that don't come out at all, and then there's things in the middle. We call it like, right? If you really struggle, you can get it out. So comes Rish Lakish and says, what's implied from here? Only if it's going to be tahor. But if it can potentially come out, even though you haven't gotten it out yet, then it sounds like it will be tameh apagav delo nafik. So comes and he says to Rabbi Yochanan, you said any tumah beluah, even on Doraita level, tumah beluah is not metame. Well, you, right, tumah beluah would include that case of hotah, it would be latzeit al yidei adchak, and therefore, how could you say that, right? How do you deal with that source? So I'm a Rapapa. Rapapa now explains, narrows their machloket, and he says like this. He's going to say all these cases where they agree and then where they disagree. Kol ha'echad ein yachol latzeit. We're going to ignore the words v'lo ikpid alav. Some people take this out, and I think it makes more sense without it. If it can't come out at all, divrei kol tahor. Okay, the extreme case that way, everyone agrees it's tahor. Yachol latzeit v'hikpid alav. Okay, if it can come out, and we're going back to the hikpid, and you insisted on getting it out, divrei kol tameh. Everyone's going to view this as tameh, even Rabbi Yochanan. That, right, even if it's tumah beluah, if it could come out, you haven't gotten it out yet, right? But you want to get it out, well, then we're going to say it's tameh. What's the machloket? Ki pligi diachol latzeit v'lo hikpid alav. The question is this middle case. It's where it can come out. It didn't, right? It can come out. What they mean here, it can come out by struggle. In other words, right? Persistence, okay? But you don't really care to get it out. So now we're going to have the difference of opinion. Mar Savar Rish Lakish is going to say, Kevandi Yacholatzeit, since it could potentially come out, Avagav Deloik Pidalav, even though you don't care about getting it out, then it's still going to be Tameh. Umar Savar Rabbi Yochanan says, Avagav Diacholatzeit, even though it could theoretically come out if you really struggle, Im Hik Pidalav, Im Ilolo. It really depends on whether you plan to get that stain out or not. This is, again, an indicator of how much a person's intent factors into halacha, right? This comes up in so many cases about, you know, there's a lot of cases where the rabbis take a person's intent as significant in terms of determining what the halacha is going to be. And here Rabbi Yochanan takes it into consideration, which Lakish happens not to take it into consideration. And he really focuses more on can it come out or can it not come out. But Rabbi Yochanan says, no, it all depends on do you care or not care.